opinions and views expressed by the host and guest are not necessarily the views and opinions of the Blake Radio Network. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul.
Cyberspace is a place that only a human being locates, where there's so much information to take. There you enter an entirely new page. Once you get on the internet, become World Wide Web.
Welcome to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind. I'm your host and facilitator, Junius Ricardo Stanley, inviting you to stay tuned for interesting interviews, news you can use, and programming designed with you in mind. Free your mind, the rest will follow, right here on the Cyberspace Sanctuary on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul.
Cyberspace is the place. Cyberspace is the place.
Hey! word, and the word was death, and the word was nigger, and the word was death to all niggers, and the word was death to all life, and the word was death to all peace. Be still. The Genesis was life, the Genesis was death, and the Genesis of death was the Genesis of war. Be still, peace, be still. In the name of peace, they waged the wars. Ain't they got no shame? In the name of peace, Lot's wife is now a product of the Morton Company. No, they ain't got no shame. Noah packing his wife and kitties up for a holiday. Row, row, row your boat. But why'd you leave the unicorns, Noah, huh? Why'd you leave them? While our black Madonna stood there, 18 feet high, holding him in her arms, listening to the rumblings of peace. Be still. Be still. Can I get a witness? Witness, witness, he wanted to know. And Peter only asked, who is that dude? Who is that black dude? Looks like a troublemaker to me. And the foundations of the mighty, mighty Roman Catholic Church were laid. Hallelujah, Jesus. No, they ain't got no shame. Because they killed the Carthaginians in the great Appian way. And they killed the Moors just to civilize a nation. And they just killed the earth and blew out the sun in the name of a God whose genesis was white. And war wooed God, and America was born, where war became peace and genocide patriotism. And honor is a happy slave, cause all God's killing need rhythm. And glory, hallelujah, why can't peace be still? The great emancipator was a bigot. Ain't they got no shame? And making the world safe for democracy were 20 million slaves. No, they ain't got no shame. And they barbecued 6 million to raise the price of beef and crossed the 16th parallel to control the price of rice. Ain't we never gonna see the light? And champagne was shipped out of the east while kosher pork was introduced to Africa. Only the torch can show the way. In the beginning was the deed, and the deed was death, and the honkies are getting confused. Peace, be still. So the great white prince was shot like a nigger in Texas, and our black shining prince was murdered like that thug in his cathedral, while our nigger in Memphis was shot like their prince in Dallas. And my lord, ain't we never gonna see the light? The rumblings of this peace must be still, be still, be still. All black people, ain't we got no pride?
Gracious Professor Griff, you're listening to Junius Ricardo Stanton. Straight up, we're teaching you all those things you need to know from the neck up, all right? We're definitely doing a checkup from the neck up. This is Professor Griff from Public Enemy, the ex-minister. I'm out. Peace.
Welcome to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind on the Blake Radio Network's Rainbow Soul. My name is Junius Ricardo Stanton, and I'm your host and facilitator for the Cyberspace Sanctuary. We started off the program with some old school Nikki Giovanni, great Pox Whitey. And that's appropriate and apropos as we discuss the United States' latest foray into war. As Nikki Giovanni said, they waged a war in the name of peace. Ain't they got no shame? Nah, they ain't got no shame. And these shameless warmongers have decided to unleash the dogs of war on Libya. Even the blind can see the hypocrisy and duplicity of this latest move. Initially, they contemplated the move to supposedly protect civilians, as there was a armed struggle between some insurgents and the Gaddafi forces, unlike Tunisia and unlike Egypt, where the military stood down and allowed the demonstrators to have their say, and the respective leaders of those two countries stepped off, however reluctantly. Gaddafi is recalcitrant in his determination to hold on, to retain power. Now, a similar situation has developed in several other countries. Iran, Yemen, Saudi Arabia, and even Jordan. Security forces of the regime tightened up and threatened to move on the demonstrators. And the United States did not, I repeat, did not go to the UN and try to get a resolution for a supposed no-fly zone or attempt to intervene other than covertly. Now, we all know that the U.S. and its allies, its Anglo-Israeli allies, are quite mischievous throughout the world, particularly at these times as they try to shore up control of all the resources and the geostrategic placement of their forces and their quislings. I think, from this is my personal view, I think as the puppets and the sycophants who are beholden to the IMF and who are the quislings on behalf of the New World Order, the International Monetary Fund, the World Bank, the Bank of International Settlements, USAID, would do well to look at how they treat you. You only have to look at Saddam Hussein. You only have to look at what the United States did in Iran. The United States, what they did to Noriega. And the list goes on and on. So not only are the righteous leaders like Lumumba and Nkrumah deposed, and leaders like Fidel Castro demonized, but the thugs and the psychopaths that they enlist in behalf of Western interests are also kicked to the curb quite often and quite ruthlessly. And we need to be aware of that. We need to take off the blindfolds and the earplugs and the nose off our brain so we can think and think collectively and think critically about what's going on in the world. We're going to share with you a snippet of an interview with Minister Louis Farrakhan that took place several weeks ago on WVON, terrestrial talk station in Chicago. And I find it interesting. He brings up some salient points about U.S. and Western intervention. Following that, we're going to listen to one of my podcasts, From the Ramparts podcast, that I did about a week or so ago at the beginning of the military intervention. And so we can just digest what's going on from a different point of view, because the corporatist media is tooting the horns, serving as cheerleaders and stenographers for this latest example of Western warmongering. There are some people raising the question, is this constitutional? My question is, whenever has it been constitutional or unconstitutional for warmongers to go to war? So what if it's not constitutional? They've done this before. The whole peace with Iraq was unconstitutional. The peace with Afghanistan was unconstitutional. There was no prima facie case for the United States to invade Afghanistan. There was no proof whatsoever, and they offered none, that Osama bin Laden had anything to do with 9/11 or that the Taliban were complicit in it in any way other than the fact that they were playing host to him. Now, I'm not anti-American. I am anti-fascism. I am anti-war. I am anti-psychopathy. And so when we take a different look at what's going on, we see clearly that the United States is in the wrong in this. There's so much duplicity, confusion, and hypocrisy in its overall foreign policy, as Minister Farrakhan mentions. But before we hear Minister Farrakhan, we're going to listen to this message, and then we'll be right back. So don't go anywhere. You're logged on to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind on the Blake Radio Network's Rainbow Soul. My name is Junius Ricardo Stanton, and we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. Hi, I'm Junius Ricardo Stanton, inviting you to join me in financially supporting the Blake Radio Network on a regular basis. We need your continuing patronage to help the Blake Radio Network remain alive and thriving both now and well into the future. There are several easy ways you can send your contribution. To use PayPal, click on the help link on the Blake Radio Network's website at www.blakeradio.com, or you can go directly to the PayPal website and click the send money link. Type in rainbowsoul@blakeradio.com as the email address,
and unlimited ventures as the payee. Then follow the instructions. To send a check or money order, make it out to Unlimited Ventures, care of Neil Blake, and mail it to 73 Ireland Place, that's Ireland Place, Suite 109, Amityville, Amityville, New York, 11701. It's easy, painless, and uncomplicated. And you'll feel great after doing it, knowing you're keeping the Blake Radio Network alive and on the cutting edge of media technology. I'm Junius Ricardo Stanton, thanking you in advance for your support.
You told the president, you said be prepared because it will be coming to your shores, America, to your door, you said. And your advice to Obama was to remember the words you're making to other nations.
Well, today, our dear brother, you know, has to be very, very careful in this decision that he and his Secretary of State and Sarkozy and Prime Minister Cameron and others are planning. They would love to go into Libya and kill Brother Gaddafi and kill his children, as they did with Saddam Hussein and his sons Qusay and Uday. You must remember, dear people of America, that whenever government wants you to think and act in a certain way that would bring justification to an action that they are already planning to make, they must make the person that they hate a boogeyman. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, nobody wants civil war. It is the bloodiest of all kinds of wars because you're fighting your own brothers. You're fighting the people of your own language and culture and history. So in every nation, brothers and sisters, there is dissatisfaction. And what the CIA does is go into a country and move among the people that are dissatisfied to stimulate a revolt against a leader that they don't like because they want regime change. I want to be specific. When George W. Bush was president, he said they wanted regime change in Iran, in Korea. Regime change. How do you get regime change, honest America? How do you do that? Congress, the Congress of the United States, voted to spend $150 million to replace the government in Iran that America doesn't like. So they send their agents in to work among the, the dissatisfied. So when they had this election and the people in Iran rose up, they have legitimate grievances, all right, but stimulated from the outside. So President Obama didn't want to put his foot into that cage, lest somebody say America inspired it, because it was America's policy to destabilize that government. Well, what about Libya?
Libya. Mm-hmm.
See, how much money is being spent to arm the so-called rebels? Mm-hmm. They're dissatisfied. Well, what is their dissatisfaction about? Do they have jobs? Yes. Mm-hmm. Do they have food? Yes. Mm-hmm. Has Gaddafi used the oil money to build Libya? Yes. Did Gaddafi use oil money and discover water under the Sahara Desert and brought that water to the surface and brought water from Benghazi all the way to the border almost of Tunisia? Did he impose farming in the desert so that they could feed their own people? Yes. Are there billions of dollars that he's spending building homes, building apartments for his people? Yes. So something is under this. And so when America, England, France, three imperialist powers want to destabilize that country, is it that you so concerned? Now listen to this hypocrisy, American people. Is it that you're so concerned over the blood that is being shed in Libya when you look the other way when the Israeli Defense Force was bombing the innocent people of Gaza? Unarmed men, women, and children, but our government looked the other way. You looked the other way when the Israeli Defense Force went into Lebanon thinking that they were going to have an easy victory. Then you had to come out with your tail between your legs. Don't tell me and wise black people or white people that you're interested in black suffering. Where were you in Rwanda? Where are you in the Congo? Why did you go to Darfur? Because oil is there. No, you don't want to save the Libyan people. That's your noble motive to hide your wicked agenda. Now, I want to warn you in the name of Allah that this is more complex than what you think. Go into Libya if you want to. The Libyans do not want foreign occupation on their land. And when you make that kind of move, if you're not careful, you unite the Libyan people against you. And again, Gaddafi wasn't sitting in any tent twiddling his thumbs over these last 10 years. This man has been investing in African development. This man has been moving throughout Africa. This man has friends all over the world. He may not be your friend, but if you take him out and kill him like he's some rotten fella that wants to kill his own people, what did you do in Waco? What did you do when your people rose up? Did you talk them out of it? No, they had weapons. You bombed them. What did you do in Philadelphia with the MOVE movement? Did you talk them out of their home or did you bomb them? We didn't hear any outcry from you religious hypocrites that love the lives of human beings. You're a liar and a hypocrite. And I warn my brother, don't you let these wicked demons move you in a direction that will absolutely ruin your future with your people in Africa and throughout the world. They don't like the way you handle Mubarak. They don't like the way you're handling the situation in the Arab world. So I would advise you to be careful and move with wisdom and skill. My advice would be, why don't you organize a group of respected Americans and ask for a meeting with Gaddafi? You can't order him to step down and get out. Who the hell do you think you are? That you can talk to a man that built a country over 42 years and ask him step down and get out? Can anybody ask you? Well, there's a lot now going to ask you to step out of the White House because they don't want no black face in the White House. Be careful, brother, how you handle this situation, because it is coming to America. It has already started. Look in Wisconsin. Look in Ohio. Look at what's going on in your country. And remember your words, because the American people are rising against their own government. It's not Muslims. It's not black people. It's white militia that are angry with their government, and they are well armed. Are you going to tell them, put your arms down and let's talk it over peacefully? I hope so. But if not, America will be bathed in blood, not because Farrakhan said so, but because the dissatisfaction in America has reached the boiling point. Be careful how you manipulate the dissatisfaction in Libya and other parts of the Muslim world.
The Honorable Minister, Louis Farrakhan.
Your intelligent conversation.
From the ramparts, dispatches from the front line, observations and commentary on the psychological warfare and the battle for our minds, body, and soul with Junius Ricardo Stanton. How to slay Goliath. Quote, we must look past the politicians, follow the money, and make the connections between the injustice we see and those who are organizing and benefiting from it. Here are some lists to get started with. http://www.crf.org/about/corporate/roster.html www.chathamhouse.org.uk/membership/corporate/major_corporate_members list. It will not be easy, and it will not happen overnight. It is up to us, each and every day, starting today, to decide how and where we spend our money, what we do with our free time, to whom we pay our attention to, and who we choose to follow. Little by little, we can regain our independence while simultaneously eroding the power and influence that has made this tyranny so grievous. Unquote. The Founding Fathers Didn't Drink British Tea by Tony Cartalucci from http://landdestroyer.blogspot.com/2011/02/the-founding-fathers-didn't-drink-deception. By now, it should be obvious to all but the hopelessly brainwashed and comatose that Barack, the mad bomber Obama, is nothing more than the total tool of a cabal of psychopaths whose sole aim is to own and control the whole world. By joining the other Western governments to wage war on Libya, Obama is demonstrating he's a rabid wolf in sheepskin. The media campaign that was designed and crafted to dupe the masses into believing he represented, quote, change we can believe in, unquote, initially succeeded beyond their wildest dreams. But now his actions are revealing his demonic intentions and allegiances. There has been no real change from the Bush regime. He shall know them by their fruits, quote, unquote. Since taking office, Obama, using the ruse he inherited wars and a financial crisis from Bush, which he did, has sided each and every time with the mega donors, the defense contractors, the international bankers, hedge funds, insurance companies, multinational corporations, and big pharma who stuffed his campaign coffers. In effect, he has said, to hell with the people of the world. The sad reality is Barack Obama is a ruthless, indolent warmonger just like his predecessors. This is not a personal attack on the president. How else could a rapacious and bloodthirsty empire like the United States continue? Obama's handlers and image makers duped the people by crafting a super slick message that induced us to believe he was against the invasion and occupation of Iraq. During his 2008 election campaign, he told the people he opposed the invasion of Iraq from the jump. But remember, he wasn't even in the U.S. Senate then. However, he said he was for expanding the Afghanistan invasion and occupation into Pakistan. Bush took a cue from Obama's statement and started bombing Pakistan. That should have been the first clue he was a warmonger, and that he was courting military-industrial complex campaign funds by telling them, as president, he would enrich their coffers if they filled his now. But we failed to connect the dot and make the mental linkage that Obama was parroting the policies of his advisor, Zinoviev Brzezinski, who just happens to be one of David Rockefeller's main men. Obama is so callous he even jokes about using predator drones on anyone who would date his daughters. To further the illusion he wasn't like Bush, Obama was given the Nobel Peace Prize to reinforce the misrepresentations so he'd be off guard and uncritical of his expanding wars of aggression into Yemen, Somalia, and now Libya. These wars are for good. Obama is a, quote, humanitarian, unquote. They gave him the Nobel Peace Prize, is what they want us to think and believe. We must keep in mind that the New World Order differs from the 15th century European imperial colonial paradigm only in that the European elite who fund the wars today are less inclined to spill the blood of their own people in internecine wars against each other, like in the past. While there are still cliques, ethnic, and agenda differences amongst them, the sociopaths in international finance and the multinational corporations who pull the strings seem, at least for the time being, willing to work cooperatively to plunder, rob, oppress, and debase the rest of the world's population. How can we fight these psychopaths and win? What can we do to save ourselves from their psychopathy and wickedness? Given the nature of a psychopath, appealing to their sense of ethics and morality is futile. To do so is foolish when we see what they are doing around the world. Pleading for mercy is a waste of time. Also, they love to see their victims demonstrate, grovel, and beg before they crush them. Their only weakness, the only thing that may give them pause and make them regroup, is the bottom line and the status quo that keeps the money flowing. If we summon the courage and resourcefulness to disrupt the system on a massive person-by-person level, we can bring them to their knees. Mahatma Gandhi demonstrated, as did Martin Luther King Jr., that economic boycott, systemic civil disruption, and massive non-compliance not only work, they can bring down whole systems. This type of proactive programming is still applicable today, especially given the current economic and political milieu. For example, what if the public workers in Wisconsin, Ohio, Illinois, and Indiana boycotted the Koch brothers' businesses and products? While I admit I do shop at Walmart occasionally, which I can stop, there are stores, shops, and gas stations I have refused to patronize for years, like BP, Shell, and Denny's, for example, because of their past and present policies. We have the power to change this. Quote, the globalists have this unwarranted power because we have continuously paid into the corrupt system they have created and monopolized. If young men became local deputies instead of joining the army, if we stopped shopping at Walmart, CFR, drinking Pepsi, CFR, eating at all the corporate-owned junk food restaurants, canceled our credit cards, canceled all but our internet connections, and basically boycotted all globalist corporations in general, along with replacing them with our own local system, where would the globalists get their manpower, their money, their legitimacy? They need us, we don't need them. That's the big secret. We get our freedom back as soon as we take back our responsibilities for food, water, security, the monetary system, power, and manufacturing. That is independence. Independence is freedom. Freedom is independence. We'll never be free as long as we depend on the Fortune 500 for our survival. Fixing these problems unfolding overseas starts with fixing the problems in our own backyard. Boycott the globalists, cut off their support, undermine their system, and they lose their ability to commit these atrocities. That will be a real revolution, and it can start today. Not burning cities and masked rebels waving flags, but communities no longer dependent and fueling a corrupt system we all know must come to an end. Unquote. From the Founding Fathers Did Not Drink British Tea by Tony Cartellucci at http://landdestroyer.blogspot.com/2011/02/real-revolution html. If black people living in a
virulently barbaric Montgomery, Alabama in the 1950s could risk intimidation and death, yet steadfastly refused to ride the buses, carpool, and support each other for 381 consecutive days, to the point they had the transportation system on the verge of collapse and the local economy teetering. We can do it too. We only have to change our value, our lifestyle, mindset, and consciousness to one that refuses to subsidize our own oppression. We have the power. The only question is, when and how will we use it? This is Junius Ricardo Stanton from The Rampart. You're listening to the Cyberspace Sanctuary on the Blake Radio Network with Junius Ricardo Stanton. Stay tuned.
Back when Eisenhower was the president, golf courses is where most of his time was spent. So I never really listened to what the president said, because in general I believed that the general was politically dead. But he always seemed to know when the muscles were about to be flexed, because I remember him saying something, mumbling something about a military-industrial complex. Americans no longer fight to keep their shores safe, just to keep the jobs going in the arms-making workplace. And then they pretend to be gripped by some sort of political reflex. All they're doing is paying dues to the military-industrial complex. Military and the monetary. Military and the monetary. Military and the monetary. The military and the monetary get together whenever they think it's necessary. They turn our brothers and sisters into mercenaries. They are turning the planet to a cemetery. The military and the monetary use the media as intermediaries. They are determined to keep the citizens secondary. They make so many decisions that are arbitrary. We're marching behind the commander-in-chief, who was standing under a spotlight shaking like a leaf. But the ship of state had landed on an economic reef, so we knew he was going to bring us messages of grief. The military and the monetary were shielded by January and were storming into February. Brought us pot-bellied generals as luminaries. 2 weeks ago, I hadn't heard the sumbitch. Now, all of a sudden, he's legendary. They took the honor from the honorary. They took the dignity from the dignitary. They took the secrets from the secretary. But they left the bitch an obituary. The military and the monetary, from thousands of miles away in a Saudi Arabian sanctuary, had us all scrambling for our dictionaries because we couldn't understand the fucking vocabulary. Yeah, there were some smart bombs, but there were some dumb ones as well. Scared the hell out of CNN in that Baghdad hotel. The military and the monetary, they get together whenever they think it's necessary. War in the desert sometimes sure is scary, but they beamed out the war to all their subsidiaries. Tried to make so damn insane a worthy adversary, keeping the citizens secondary, scaring old folks into coronaries. The military and the monetary, from thousands of miles in a Saudi Arabian sanctuary, kept us all wondering if all of this was really, truly necessary. We've got to work for peace. Peace ain't coming this way. If we only work for peace, if everyone believed in peace the way they say they do, we'd have peace. The only thing wrong with peace is that you can't make no money from it. The military and the monetary, they get together whenever they think it's necessary. They've turned our brothers and sisters into mercenaries. They are turning the planet into a cemetery. Got to work for peace. Peace ain't coming this way. We should not allow ourselves to be misled by talk of entering a time of peace. Peace is not the absence of war, it is the absence of the rumors of war and the threats of war and the preparation for war. Peace is not the absence of war, it is a time when we will all bring ourselves closer to each other, closer to building a structure that is unique within ourselves, because we have finally come to peace within ourselves. Military and the monetary. Military and the monetary. Military and the monetary. Get together whenever they think it's necessary. They have turned our brothers and sisters into mercenaries. They are turning parts of the planet into a cemetery. What you gonna do? Military and the monetary. Military and the monetary.
Say what you gonna do.
We hounded the Ayatollah religiously. Bombed Libya and killed Gaddafi's son hideously. We turned our back on our allies, the Panamanians, and saw Ali North selling guns to the Iranians. Watched Gorbachev slaughtering Lithuanians. We better warn the armies, they may bomb the Pennsylvanians. Military and the monetary. Get together whenever they think it's necessary. They have turned our brothers and sisters into mercenaries. They are turning the planet into a cemetery.
They got folks out there working for war. Make a whole lot of money, start a trouble, it's war. Turn this planet in the north and south, it's war. Start a few rumors over there, make money with a war.
Say it to yourself.
I believe we got to work for peace. Peace ain't gonna be free. We got to work for peace. You believe in peace? Don't go to work for nobody. They got folks out there working for war. Nobody. Start a little trouble over here. What you got is war. Turn these folks in the north and south to war.
Late-night commercial, but it's a matter of fact that there are thousands of children all over the world in Asia and Africa and South America who need our help. When they start talking about 55 cents a day and 70 cents a day, I know a lot of folks feel as though that's not really any kind of contribution to make, but we have to give up a dollar and a half just to get in the subway nowadays. Better if we all, each one try to teach one. Nobody can do everything, but everybody can do something. Everyone must play a part. Everyone's got to go to work. Work for peace. Spirit say work.
Gil Scott Heron, Working for Peace, reminding us that the military and the monetary get together when it's necessary to wage war and to increase their bank accounts, increase their holdings, increase their geostrategic positioning around the world as the thugs and bandits and marauders continue their 500 plus years of rapine, invasion, looting, pillage, and plunder. We're going to listen to some propaganda. This is from the Associated Press as they attempt to rationalize and justify the all-out war by the Western powers, France, United States, and the United Kingdom. Keep in mind, as Minister Farrakhan pointed out on the WVON interview, these are former colonial powers. These are powers who are engaged in the whole transition from the old imperialist paradigm to the neocolonial paradigm to now the neoliberal New World Order paradigm, where the multinational corporations are pulling the strings and calling the shots, very much like they did in the 15th century, but they were the trading companies. Now they're branched out into a myriad of other interests, not only commerce, but finance, communications, as well as armaments and weaponry. And so they are doing what they can to keep the notion that it's okay for the West and these marauders to do and go where they want to go. I encourage you to listen to it with an open mind. Be critical, because there is a hypocrisy in the foreign policy that says it's okay to wage war on Libya for their oil, but not deal with Yemen, whose dictator is equally, if not more so, oppressive. Bahrain, Saudi Arabia, to a limited degree, Jordan, and so many other countries where the U.S. has propped up a dictator or a ruthless monarch who is abusing his or her people. And I would have to concur with Putin, who characterized this as a crusade. And basically, it is a crusade. It is the clash of civilizations that people talked about at the beginning of the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. It is a clash of civilizations, whereby the West, the Europeans, the white folk, are attempting to come up with a new way to maintain their stranglehold on the resources, the raw material, the labor, the land, as well as the sovereignty of the rest of the world. And so listen to this Associated Press piece as it attempts to justify and rationalize the unjustifiable and the undefensible war.
The rhetoric and fighting are heating up in Libya. A fighter jet was brought down over the rebel-held city of Benghazi on Saturday, and the Pentagon says the U.S. has fired missiles at Libyan air defenses. And now French fighter jets are patrolling the skies there, the most visible signs yet that the international community is prepared not only to talk, but to take action, too.
The people of Libya must be protected, and in the absence of an immediate end to the violence against civilians, our coalition is prepared to act.
While Obama is in Brazil, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton traveled to France for an international meeting to determine the next steps in Northern Africa. And she says the consensus there is that there is no time to waste.
The world will not sit idly by while more innocent civilians are killed.
Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi, though, is vowing not to go down without a fight. And says the international coalition will regret daring to intervene in Libya. However, international leaders say Gaddafi has no one to blame but himself.
Well, Colonel Gaddafi has made this happen. He has national community. He has promised a ceasefire. He has broken that ceasefire. He continues to brutalize his own people.
Officials say there is still time for diplomacy, but warn Gaddafi must act quickly to seize that opportunity. Sandy Clozell, the Associated Press.
That was an Associated Press television piece that we got from their website, which attempts to do what Malcolm X said a long time ago: make the victim the criminal and the criminal the victim. Notice how they had to demonize Gaddafi. Notice how they had to make the mission seem like it was righteous, to seem like it was doing good, as if they could justify murdering innocent people with their ongoing lies about precision smart bombs, like they can drop bombs and missiles and these weapons of mass destruction, these lethal missiles, these bombs can somehow find their way to the target, leaving civilians and non-military buildings, land, and facilities untouched. That's totally nonsense. I mean, it's just crazy. This from the very people, the United States government and military, who dropped two atomic bombs on civilian cities. Hiroshima and Nagasaki were not military targets. This is the kind of mindset that is behind this whole campaign. And why are they there? They're there for the oil. They're there for an excuse, a pretext to be able to establish a fully functioning AFRICOM on the African continent. They have a base in Djibouti, but to their credit, most of the leaders in Africa have rejected the whole proposal by the U.S. Empire to have a garrison called AFRICOM on the continent. Well, after this is over, if indeed there is regime change, and even if it isn't, they will use this as a reason to garrison U.S. troops, armaments, and military either in North Africa as a quote-unquote security measure, and This will also be their form of shock and awe to intimidate many of the other African countries into going along with their program, allowing them to come in and bogart their mineral and natural resources. Mugabe in Zimbabwe is the only African leader thus far who's spoken out against these atrocities. And of course, he's in their doghouse. He's viewed as persona non grata. So don't be too surprised to see in the next several days the media demonizing him and anyone else who steps forward to criticize. Like I said earlier, Putin from Russia characterized it as a crusade, harkening back into the Middle Ages when the Europeans, under the aegis of the Catholic Church and various monarchs, got together to try to, quote-unquote, recapture, as if it was theirs in the first place, the so-called Holy Land. And it was really a pretext to go on a binge of imperialist rapine. It was an excuse for the Catholic Church hierarchy to raise more money through taxes and through tribute, because back then the Catholic Church was one of the top power brokers on the set, even more so than the monarchs, because they had, up until the Reformation, they had to pay tribute to the Catholic Church. So they have a little bit of history repeating itself, and quite so, because the best predictor of current and future behavior is past behavior. And all you have to do is ascertain and discern someone's pattern, and you can predict their future behavior. And in fact, you can often either manipulate it or anticipate it. And so the warmongers, people of Europe who have a 1,000-year-plus history of war, it's no secret that they would go out and make war. In my From the Ramparts piece, I talked about the difference between the New World Order paradigm and the 15th century imperialist paradigm. And the paradigm is today is like a pan-European union where they work together in union in the boardrooms and as far as military incursions, because they have NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, which was originally created to be a buffer and a hedge against the supposed threat of communism, of Russian communism in the Balkans and Eastern Europe. Now, much of that was fabricated by the CIA over the years to justify the military-industrial complex's bloated budget and keeping the United States on a war footing, the so-called Cold War. They had to create an enemy, so they created the Russians. And there's a whole history of how that was done in collusion with either espionage or out-and-out lies on the part of the so-called security and intelligence services that basically misrepresented not only the strength of the Soviet Union military, its capacity, as well as its intentions. Because if they were that super-duper strong, they would have never lost in Afghanistan. And so the CIA and the military-industrial complex had to keep the American people afraid. They had to keep the threat of nuclear annihilation going, despite the fact that the United States was the only country to actually use nuclear weapons. And they had to do this to justify their spending trillions of dollars over several decades on war. And that's what they're doing. They're in Libya. They're bombing Libya to gain access to the oil directly and to keep China from accessing it, because their biggest threat in terms of resources on the continent, I'm talking about the threat from the pan-European group, is China. Because China, unlike the Europeans, is not going in with swords and bombs trying to bogart the resources. They're going in with money, technological exchanges, mutual benefit, at least in their mind. Now, from some of the things I've seen, the Africans should be asking for more, but that's their choice, and that's what they've done. But I think that overall, the Chinese have the right approach, whereas the arrogance of the West goes back to their cultural roots, goes back to their barbarian roots, goes back to their ancestral roots when they were the barbarians sacking, whether it was Rome whether it was ancient Sumer, whether it was India, whether it was Anatolia, wherever it was, for thousands and thousands of years, that's their paradigm. We have to understand that their psychology, or what I would say their psychopathy, is not in their psychology or psychiatry books. It's in their history books. All we have to do is look at their history and then match it up with the terms that they say are malevolent and abhorrent and see it for what it is. You're listening to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, and we're looking at current events, trying to decipher and to cut through and decode the maze of propaganda, lies, and spin for this latest unleashing of the dogs of war. And we hope you have gotten something out of today's program. We hope we've offered you some food for thought. And as we close out, this is Junius Ricardo Stanton wishing each and every one of you love, peace, health, prosperity, wisdom, but most of all, power. The power to find meaning, purpose, and fulfillment in your life so that you evolve into all that the Creator intends for you to be. And your life manifests magnificently as one who is actualizing and demonstrating the innate divinity, creativity, and power within you. Till next time, stay strong.
Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind on
the Blake Radio Network with Junius Ricardo Stanley. Thank you for logging on. We invite you to tune in again and engage in mental decolonization. Free your mind, the rest will follow.
That no corporation incorporates, no denomination faith dominates, and no court is going to try.